Yo, what's going on, gang? Old school wine cellar style. Well, how old school, really? Like, I don't have the real microphone plugged in. Like, this is the built-in laptop microphone. Gonna be a lot of reverb because I'm sitting in the empty, and I mean really empty apartment. The carpenters are dragging major ass getting it in gear. All right, so I am in Illinois now. I'm not in Central Florida anymore. I'm over here in Illinois with these folks doing the whatnot and the what have you. And yeah, like the apartment, empty. I'm for the corporate monster working different hours now. Now I'm on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are the days that I have like set aside for creating content, working, building with my fiance as much as possible and whatnot. Because of working Fridays, missed the first opening of the new Ghostbusters film with them cooning out Leslie Jones. And there'll be more about that, more riffing about that. I'd like for a lot more of it to be conversation, not monologue. But like I was in the social networks, and I was like, you know, this is number, I don't know, 276,775,737. It's that number on the reasons why I can't do white feminism, and it's because there's no room for the thought that maybe the new Ghostbusters film might be garbage because Leslie Jones buck dancing is disgusting. And there's also not the slightest consideration that as of late, most movies are thrown together slop, especially this generation of comedy. You know, and then it's Tuesday right now. And I guess Monday night while I was asleep, people yet again pretend to take trolls serious online, whether they're trolls or not. Like if you are an actual troll, you're in an extreme minority. And then anybody that's just a dissenter just gets called a troll. You know, like you can't take white feminism serious. And I guess they were tweeting at the Leslie Jones Twitter account, and Leslie Jones is retweeting them and pretending to be offended. I do say pretending to be offended. I dead mean that, because, I mean, facts are facts, people. Like, it was only mere weeks ago that Leslie Jones told black people that didn't like the way she was getting cooned out by these white comedians to shut the fuck up and stop being politically correct. Leslie Jones told us to shut the fuck up about that race shit. But now Leslie Jones is gonna pretend to be offended on some race shit about the new Ghostbusters movie. Now let's guess why. Well, they played off of an old franchise from the 80s. You know, they put it in the right year. You know, like everybody knew Clinton was coming, so it's a ripe season for intellectually lazy, disingenuous, neoliberal, lean-in, egalitarian supremacy, white feminism. It's a great year for it. So go for the new Ghostbusters movie, pushing white women at the front, and make a black woman their little coon gal in the back, a little mammy gal. And I'm guessing that, you know, as I sit here 12:11 p.m. on Tuesday around lunchtime, I'm guessing that maybe those box office numbers over the weekend were not as expected. So now let's ramp it up, you know, let's play Twitter victim. You gotta love these public figures that are Twitter victims. Yeah, like fucking I think Imani Gandhi of This Week in Blackness is the fucking champion of that. Imani and Elon. Elon James White and Imani Gandhi are the champions of Twitter victim. Fake lying ass niggas. And I look at the results, and the results are coming in right, because now people are saying, I wasn't going to see the movie because, you know, but because I wasn't interested, but now folks are going to go watch the film now and go pay money to see it and kind of put a little bump-de-doo in the numbers. And that's good for the hustle, you know? You gotta tip my hat, right? Folks didn't ask to be born into capitalism, so they're working their way through it. Alright, Jesus Christ, let's get into some fucking weird... bad microphone wine cellar. Somebody left with the cup, but he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's biting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. Alright, and an irrelevant headline, no one to be fired after Melania Trump, speech plagiarism episode, and as Feeny Loco pointed out in the Phoenix Collider, as she pointed out in the social networks, that the right wing and the left wing both really enjoyed the exact same words about neoliberal fucking... bootstrap bullshit, fucking, you know, this basically political prosperity gospel, if you will, right? You pray to the god of job, and you will receive the blessing of millionaire. Get the fuck out of here. Owners of Chino Hills Powerball ticket claim share of $1.6 billion jackpot. ISIS claims responsibility for the AX attack on a German train. In other news, ISIS claimed responsibility for killing Tupac. ISIS claimed responsibility for ghostwriting Kumo D's diss track to LL called Let's Go. ISIS claimed responsibility for killing the carpenters that are supposed to have my fucking apartment finished. ISIS claimed responsibility for what happened to my hairline when I was 23 years old. ISIS also claimed responsibility in the same attack. It was kind of like a Twin Towers thing. They knocked down my hairline and my metabolism. ISIS claims responsibility for every fucking thing. At some point, it's either ISIS is lying, or the corporate-controlled media is lying, because weapons manufacturers make money off of you thinking that you need to be defended from ISIS. Volkswagen accused in emissions fraud as New York and Massachusetts sue. We'll see where that goes. Some folks got hurt out there in Chicago, some shootings, because, I mean, they have the gun laws, but because they're negras, they deliberately don't enforce them. Just take fucking guns. They ain't supposed to have a gun. Just be like, dude, what the fuck, bro? You're not supposed to have that gun. Here, give me that. Nah, but instead they're just like, wait for the negras to shoot each other. One's dead, one's in prison. Make money off of them, right? Good. Spread the hustle. Jesus Christ. Of course, the Leslie Jones is making headlines off of that that Twitter bullshit. Pure bullshit, folks. It's absolutely nothing. It's just good hustle. If you're going to see the movie and you didn't plan on it after the Twitter thing because you want to defend Leslie Jones against the trolls, then the hustle worked on you. Okay? Consider yourself marketed to. Let's see. Sex workers deserve equal rights advocacy group on East Coast Radio. You want to check that out? And Dannemora officials feel slighted over a manhunt. And Ocean Cleanup UP launches a prototype to remove waste plastic from... Let's actually take a look at this one. Remove waste plastic from oceans. A Dutch foundation developing technology to remove waste plastics from the world's oceans has launched a working North Sea prototype. The organization said that the prototype is the first ocean cleanup system ever tested at sea. And two of the ocean cleanup's main partners, the Dutch government and dredging and marine contractor Royal Boskalis Westminster, Nevada, were represented at the unveiling. The prototype has been installed in the North Sea, 23 kilometers off of the Dutch coast, where it will remain for 1 year. The objective is to test how the ocean cleanup's floating barrier fares in extreme weather. So they made a machine to do it. It's like, machines make mistakes, machines are man-made, machines fuck up. Get people out there with highly tenacious nets. Alright, like you need highly tenacious nets and human beings. Now, what that would do is, if you don't already have these nets, then you have to hire human beings to make them. Those are jobs. You have to hire human beings to work the nets. Those are also jobs. You have to hire human beings to work the sea vessels with which you will lift the nets onto and take the garbage onto. These are jobs. And then the things that we have deemed garbage, take those to locations where they can see what they can do with this garbage and repurpose this matter. All right, law of matter is that in chemical change, matter is neither created nor destroyed. So you still have the matter. Do something with it. The shit exists. Do something with it and stop manufacturing more shit. Busted old microwave, repair the fuck out of it. You know you fucking can. It's just that the fucking corporations have more money than repurposing. Well, then do some shit like this. Don't elect a Clinton or any person like that that's for the corporations. Get somebody that's for the people, and that will put government funding toward repurposing old shit that we have deemed garbage. There's that Negrotarianism again, isn't it?
Y'all motherfuckers can eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah, the ocean's cleanup's cleaning technology makes use of long floating barriers which act as an artificial coastline, passively catching and concentrating ocean debris. We don't need passive. We need aggressive. We need aggressive netting, not passively catching. This is actually not good news, but it's useful to know exactly what the fuck these people are not doing and putting funding toward. So no, the Ocean Cleanup UP prototype is a piece of shit, and their idea is a piece of shit, and nothing will get done. More wine cellar, more stuff, more things, more whatnot, what have you, more Thugabaloo and Nigga Moreau from Dark Skin Nigglesworth.
Every time John Boehner cries, a gay newborn comes out to the hospital staff.
This show is fucked up.
These are the bullshit celebrities that y'all cast. Dunham, Taylor, and Kanye are all trash. So I won't let your blog pass, because your thoughts sag like Jack Nicholson's ball bag. And that's something you can joker about. I'm catching all you motherfuckers on a Pokemon route, so you can speak up or walk on, cause I'm keeping it strong for WineCellarMedia.com.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
Now, so the so-called left, right, the basic, the sort of wannabe Democrat establishment, internet left, you know, like the Gawker.com, the Raw Story. Like, basically just, they're not, these are not really, like, progressive folks. Like, these are Democrat spaces. Like, if you notice, anything that pushes back against anything establishment, those spaces don't deal with it. They deal only with going hard at Republicans, which is too fucking easy. Like, Republicans are an easy fucking target now. Like, you know, maybe go at an evangelical Christian because they're funny, but... like, just going hard at Republicans just ignores how much Democrats are like them. And so, like, the one that Gawker.com is on right now is, they have Alex Jones. Jones is fucking with Karl Rove at the airport so that he can get views. Like, Jones is very skilled at clickbait, right? Because he can put that up and just say, and he knows his way around headlines. Right, like the headlines that will be like, you know, Alex Jones confronts Karl Rove, you know, something like that. And in their exchange, Karl Rove accuses Jones of distorting the facts. Get the fuck out of here, like, nigga, you Karl Rove, you're Fox News, like, you all about distorting them physacts, nigga. You know, same nigga, been saying it, you know, back in 2000 in the Republican primary. That was Karl Rove that put the shit out there that was like fucking John McCain has an illegitimate nigger gal that he done created by putting his white scepter in some black lady's vaginal dungeon and then popped out with a little sin baby. Yeah, like that's Karl Rove. That's who him is. So... fucking, they really do the same shit, except Alex Jones does it as a faux libertarian. You know, because, I mean, Alex Jones, he likes to throw the word libertarian around, or throw around the words like classic liberal. But, I mean, like, but he's still, you know, transphobic, homophobic. He's not in favor of sex workers' rights and shit like that. So, I mean, that's not particularly libertarian, Mr. Man. Yeah, so he's a fakester, and Karl Rove is a fakester, and websites like Gawker just point at them as a way to point away from Democrats. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. That's why this is the Republican National Convention that I take zero interest in. I just don't give a shit. I want to see what kind of bullshit the Democrats pull, because those are the fucking chief bullshitters. And they did it from a right-wing way. And, you know, I mean, can't front. Right-wingers are better at playing the long game. Like, on the left, we're just like, oh, man, can we just get some peace from these fucked-up motherfuckers for a few minutes, you know, while they play the long game. And that's what the Clintons did. I mean, you can even run that back to a fucking Jimmy Carter, right? Like Jimmy Carter is a forgotten name in neoliberalism. He was the same kind of more warmongering fuckstick that these modern-day fuckers are. You know, like, I mean, it was under the Carter administration and the Democratic Party under Jimmy Carter as the standard bearer that you got the super delegate system. You know, so, I mean, he's of the same cloth, you know, but because he has cancer and he's out there building, he's involved in building, like, what, fucking, like, one house every 3 months? You know, like, get the fuck out of here. He does nothing. Like, it's all, he's just doing busy work until he croaks. And they played the long game, but from a right-wing way. You know, starting in the 70s. While the old-school right-wingers, they started playing a game that started in the early 50s. You know, with that John Bircher shit and that Southern strategy. And so, this is just, now you're looking at the Republicans' long game coming to an end. And the Democrats' long game, like, sort of in its prime. So it's that's where we are right now as far as partisan politics. Jesus fucking Christ! More wine cellar, more stuff, more things. Shout out to Fallon Matthew. That nigga's black.
Hey, you doing okay? I kind of know how you feel, Summer.
No, you don't. You're the little brother. You're not the cause of your parents' misery. You're just a symptom of it.
Can I show you something?
Morty, no offense, but a drawing of me you made when you were 8 isn't going to make me feel like less of an accident.
That out there? That's my grave.
Wait, what?
On one of our adventures, Rick and I basically destroyed the whole world. So we bailed on that reality and we came to this one. Because in this one, the world wasn't destroyed. And in this one, we were dead. So we came here and we buried ourselves and we took their place. And every morning, Summer, I eat breakfast 20 yards away from my own rotting corpse.
So you're not my brother?
I'm better than your brother. I'm a version of your brother you can trust when he says don't run. Nobody exists on purpose. Nobody belongs anywhere. Everybody's gonna die. Come watch TV.
I'm looking outside of my window. The view that I see is a child and mama. And the child is begging for money. Tell me why the woman is blind. It's just so broke, the kids stealing crime. It's such a beautiful city, but the world is burning it down. It's such a beautiful city, but the world is burning it down. I go to my room to turn on the TV. I sit myself down and I start laughing hard. Cause this man, he's asking for money. He says, if you send me lots of cash, I'll send you stuff to make you rich fast. It's such a wonderful country, but the man, he's burning it down.
Hillary Clinton and her huckster husband, Slick Willie, seem to specialize in bringing harm to black people. The public record, stretching back many decades, proves they are Class A racists who've destroyed countless black lives in the service of corporate interests and their own private greed. The Clintons' crimes against the people of Haiti are but one chapter in the blood-soaked saga of the most vile American couple ever to stride the global stage. The U.S. State Department, still emitting the stink of Hillary Clinton's stewardship in Barack Obama's first term, last week announced it would withdraw financial support for new presidential elections planned for Haiti in October. That's just fine with most Haitians, who know that when the U.S. finances Haitian elections, it gets what it pays for. A government of gangsters in service to multinational corporations and a local elite that fears and despises the poor majority. A broad consensus of Haiti's political spectrum agreed to restart the election process from scratch and to discard the results of last year's rigged elections that would have kept the political faction headed by former President Michel Sweet Mickey Martelly in power. Martelly, a profane nightclub singer and close associate of terrorists and drug lords, became president in 2011 through a rigged election engineered by U.S. Secretary of State Clinton. Martelly spent much of his term ruling by decree, ruthlessly suppressing the parties of Haiti's poor majority, allowing gold mining companies and other foreign extraction industries to illegally take over vast stretches of countryside, and seizing coastal properties and islands for the benefit of multinational tourism corporations. American companies and NGOs got the lion's share of the billions raised to rebuild the country after the devastating earthquake of 2010, with Martelly's gangster class skimming off the crumbs. The Clintons' goal was to transform Haiti into the sweatshop of the Caribbean by keeping Haitian labor dirt cheap at places like the Clinton Foundation's Caracol Industrial Park. Bill Clinton preached that Haiti's poverty provided it with a competitive advantage. So the Clintons tried their best to keep Haiti as poor as possible. Hillary Clinton bullied Haiti and rigged its elections through the State Department, and former President Bill Clinton lorded it over the country as special United Nations envoy, while the Clinton Foundation spent $36 million doing who knows what, and the Clinton Global Initiative managed as much as $500 million in aid money designated for Haiti. Meanwhile, 7,000 Haitians died from a cholera epidemic brought into the country by a UN occupation force that reduced Haiti to an international protectorate. Protected, that is, from the democratic aspirations of the Haitian people themselves. As Martelly's term drew to a close last year, his government stole two more elections with the approval of the United States, which paid for the crime and told Haiti to accept the outcome. But the Haitians said, keep your money, and are going ahead with new elections in October. This should mark an end to the infinitely corrupt Clinton era in Haiti, except that the Clintons will likely be on their way back to the White House in November, positioning them to pollute the whole planet with their noxious, lethal sleaze and criminality. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Glenn Ford. On the web, go to blackagendareport.com.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
Tell Lisa because she can suck it. Wait. Is Lisa gonna come after me and kill me?
No.
Because I'm like a 5'2" little German girl.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Is she bigger than me?
Lisa Loco, she's like 5'1".
Oh, okay. I can take her. I'm an inch taller.
Never done nothing. She has no firearms.
It's now time for Big Gay News brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. First up, big gay news from Florida. Gay Puerto Rican boxer wins fight dedicated to Orlando victims. Advocate.com reports that Orlando Cruz, the openly gay boxer who dedicated his July 15th fight to the victims of the Orlando shooting, won the bout. Cruz, who lives in Puerto Rico with his partner, calls Florida his second home and lost four of his friends in the mass shooting at the Pulse nightclub. With a number of survivors and their families watching in the audience in Kissimmee Civic Center, Cruz took a victory against Alejandro Alex Valdez. Cruz appeared in his weigh-in for the bout wearing a rainbow Speedo and, on Friday, showed a new tattoo featuring a memorial ribbon that honored the victims of the massacre. Next up, Virginia's two openly gay legislators file bills to repeal statutory bans on same-sex marriage. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that two openly gay members of Virginia's legislature have introduced bills to repeal now moot sections of the state constitution and state law that prohibit same-sex marriage. Although the Supreme Court ruling that legalized same-sex marriage supersedes state law is currently on the books, both Adam Eben and Mark Sickles are striving to have the bill stricken from both the state constitution as well as the Code of Virginia that specifically prohibit couples of the same gender from marrying, entering into a civil union, or forming a partnership contract. Eben stated that the Supreme Court has made it perfectly clear that marriage equality is the law of the land, and that individual freedom and privacy are guaranteed to all. It is unconscionable that the General Assembly has not yet fixed the code and begun the process to bring the Constitution into conformance with the law of the land. Next up, gay U.S. Secretary of Army and boyfriend ride in the San Diego Pride Parade. GayStar News reports that the first openly gay U.S. Secretary of the Army, Eric Fanning, rode in the San Diego Pride Parade on Sunday in an open car with his boyfriend, Ben Masri Cohen. Fanning's appearance at the event came only weeks after the U.S. military made the decision to allow transgender military personnel to serve openly for the first time in history. In an interview, Fanning praised the decision of the military to allow transgender service members, saying that, "I want to be able to recruit from the broadest base of people possible who meet the requirements." adding that people simply want to serve their country. For our final story, gay couple told to stop hugging at Canada's Wonderland Gay Day event. GayStar News reports that Gay Day, a popular family day for the GLBTI community at Canada's Wonderland Park in Ontario, is cancelled after a park employee told a same-sex couple to stop hugging. At the Gay Day event in June, Barrett Morrison and his partner Brandon Hamilton were told to stop hugging one another as they waited to board the Lazy River ride by a park staff member who admonished them that this was a family park and that they should monitor their behavior accordingly. Because of that incident, PFLAG Canada has made the decision to stop holding their Gay Day event at Wonderland after 8 years of doing so, citing the fact that the event was meant to be a celebration for both the GLBTI community and their family and friends to have a safe, inclusive, and accepting place to spend the day. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Raines and Shane Luke for compiling the stories. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us on Twitter and tweet your take on today's stories at the handle Big Gay News.
Just talk.
Yeah, let me put in an Altoid first. I don't
want to finish. Oh, give me an Altoid. I had coffee this morning.
That's my deal, too.
Yeah, so Bernie has a million people who subscribed. Oh, that's fancy.
I just grab it at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Speak the truth, says an old cowboy aphorism, but ride a fast horse. I recently spent two hot, muggy days in Orlando, Florida, wrangling over policy issues as one of the members of the Democratic Party's National Platform Committee. And I had my horse ready, for I was speaking some truth the party establishment did not want to hear. About 40% of the committee members, including me, were Bernie Sanders representatives, and we intended to do our best to Bernieize the platform with progressive amendments so it could contain more than the same old business-as-usual blah-blah that these documents usually contain. A priority target was the Trans-Pacific Partnership scam. That's a job-destroying, anti-democracy little shop of corporate horrors. Astonishingly, the draft platform presented to us essentially endorsed this monstrous power grab by multinational corporations. So I was designated to present, on behalf of Team Bernie, an amendment to flat-out kill TPP, which I gladly did, telling the full committee that our amendment was, quote, a form of political Viagra to stiffen the spine of our party. Inexplicably, however, the White House is pushing TPP, so it went all out to stop us, even using parliamentary manipulations to try keeping me from presenting the amendment. But Sanders' savvy policy staff outflanked them, forcing a debate and a vote, all in front of C-SPAN's national television audience. Still, establishment Democrats tightly controlled 60% of the committee, so we lost the vote. Nonetheless, against all odds, the Sanders insurgency advanced the progressive cause by compelling the establishment to strengthen their own pusillanimous language and by dragging the TPP skunk into public view. This is Jim Hightower saying, sometimes taking an insistent stand on principle can create a strategic win from an apparent loss.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Now, on just one station, a cell phone recording a confrontation with cops. One man seen with his hands up.
I'm asking the officer, I said, sir, please don't shoot me. Please do not shoot me just like that.
And he couldn't believe what happened next.
When he hit me, I'm like, I still got my hands in there. I said, you know, I just got shot.
Tonight, police under fire.
Well, despite having his arms in the air, the victim was still shot by officers.
He says his nightmare did not end there. 7's Brian Enton is live with this exclusive from North Miami Police, where some are demanding answers this evening. Brian?
Belkis, not only does this man say he was shot while he was just doing his job, helping his autistic patient, but he says after police mistakenly shot him, they left him on the ground bleeding and handcuffed him. This is Charles Kinsey laying in the middle of the road with his hands in the air. North Miami police have rifles pointed at him. Listen as he tries to tell them he's a therapist, just trying to help a confused autistic man who ran away from a group home. Charles remembers the moments before he got shot.
I'm going to the ground just like this here with my hands up. And I'm laying down here just like this. And I'm telling him again, sir, there's no need for a firearm. I'm unarmed. He's an artistic guy. He had a toy truck in his hand.
He pleads with officers to back down and also tries to calm down his patient. This goes on for minutes, and then Charles says out of nowhere, a North Miami police officer shoots him.
I'm like this right here. And when he shot me, it was so surprising. It was like a mosquito bite. And when he hit me, I'm like, I still got my hands in there. I said, no, I just got shot. And I'm standing there, I'm like, sir, why did you shoot me? And his words to me, he said, I don't know.
North Miami police say it all started when someone called 911 and said there was a man walking around with a gun threatening suicide Monday. But Charles says the gun was a toy truck. The man was the autistic patient.
I was really more worried about him than myself because I'm looking at, as long as I got my hands up, they're not going to shoot me. This is what I'm thinking. They're not going to shoot me. Wow, was I wrong?
Charles says what police did after he was shot is what upsets him the most.
I think they got like 1, 2, 3 sets of handcuffs. They cuffed my hands and they flipped me over. And I'm laying on the concrete like this right here. I'm bleeding.
Day in and day out, Charles works helping the disabled. He just wants to know why the officer fired.
So grateful that he's alive and he's able to tell his story.
Every time I close my eyes, you know, it's just like I'm just getting flashbacks.
So take a live look right now. This group outside the North Miami Police Department, this is the Circle of Brotherhood. They are an organization, and they say they want police to answer questions about why this happened, and they want to know whether this officer will be charged. North Miami Police have not released much information at all. They are not releasing the officer's name. They are not giving us an update on their investigation, but they did say that the state attorney is now a part of this investigation. Live in North Miami, Brian Enton, 7 News.
Father Teresa is my atheist, communist, socialist, liberal, asshole, racist, feminine-hating, d-hole uncle.
Now, you know, thinking back, and I'm like, I was in 1988, I was 5 years old. You know, like, I remember the older kids. This is when we lived in Hilltop, Tacoma. This is before my biological mother moved us to Spanaway. I'm not 100% sure. I think we may have been on Cushman Ave, but I think, or maybe Ainsworth. We may have lived on Ainsworth Avenue. I'm trying to remember, you know, like, exact. I mean, I guarantee you, if I sniffed around long enough, and if people would actually let me walk in their houses like a weirdo, I could find where we lived in Hilltop, Tacoma in 1988, but that's extra detail, right? Well, I remember we lived there, and it was 88, and some older kids, and by older kids, it's like, I'm 5 years old, so they were probably like fucking 8 or 9, right? And that is significantly older when you're in the single digits, right? And I remember they showed me a billy club, and they were like, yeah, this, like, they knew somebody that used to be a cop, and they kept that after they left their job. And they were like, yeah, this is the nigger beater. You know, this is what the cops used to beat niggers. You know, us. You know, they beat us black people with these. You know. And then after that, like, got the NWA tape. And they were saying, fuck the police. And I'm wondering, like, why are they using this curse word and being mad at the cops, you know? And my mother explained to me why they would say, fuck the police. And why Ice-T would say, fuck a punk cop on the Hustler song. On the New Jack City soundtrack. You know, and over time, you know, I start having my interactions and run-ins with the getting harassed, brutalized, harmed, you know, just overall fucked with by the cops in my time. And over the years, like, I'm, you know, like, I tell my fiance, you know, she's like, ah, you know, you're gonna get fucking shot out there, big guy. Yeah, that's how she talks. and I'm like, nah, I got skills, you know, like, I'm good at dealing with these fucking pigs, you know, like I know the gesticulation, I know the tone, I know the hands, you know, like, I've got this. I know how to interact with these monkeys. And And then you see this video, and it's like, oh, they're fuck your skill now. Right? Like, there is no skill to it now. Like, the instant hands up, I'm not dangerous. The instant, I am speaking very clearly, and you understand all of the words that I am saying because I am enunciating every single syllable perfect. Doesn't work. They are just going to shoot you. So, fantastic. So really, it just at this point, it essentially looks like you run into the cops, you're dead. Fuck it. So now it's just avoid the fuck out of them. Or I guess really the logical thing is what some niggas been doing recently. Just start clapping them. Fuck it. Blast on them first. There's no other choice. It's like either blast or get blasted on. You know, And that's just the gangster shit that we're in with these fucking cops right now. Right? That nigga's laying on the floor. Like, if you look at that video, the guy down there in Miami, he's laying on his back with his hands up. You know, and the other guy is up with the autistic guy. You know, he's actually sitting up and still playing with the toy truck, you know? And the cop still shot that nigga. Because all you gotta do is be black. That's it. Just be black. Nothing in hands. Hands up. Lying on the ground. Fuck it. Shoot. They're just gonna do it. So that's where we definitely are right now. She's ill, man.
That's what I said. I almost fell out my chair. It's a rocking chair. And I'm drunk.
All right. So it looks like you can, you can purchase yourself a Pokemon butt plug, you know, if you should so need such a product as a Pokemon butt plug. And the way they're selling it, you can become a real life Pokemon with a Pikachu butt plug and a headband set cut off from a wild fainted Pikachu who probably won't be needing it anymore. The butt plug is about 4 inches long, while the tail itself is an eye-catching 21 inches long. It is $98, and you can order it online, and you can have yourself a Pokemon butt plug if you should so need to plug your butt for, I don't know, stoppage, leakage. I don't know, if you had a bunch of ice cream and chili and you washed it down with a cup of coffee and you have a really busy day, maybe you should plug your butt if you don't have time to stop in a restroom or I don't know. Yeah, so that exists, all right? And it's Pokemon style. And Pokemon is going on again. Folks are out there having a good time. And one thing I see people saying, it's like, folks are like, hey, don't make fun of people using the Pokemon and don't get irritated or mad with the people playing with the Pokemon. You know, my kids are finally up walking. And I'm like, hold up. Your kids are finally up. Nigga, make your kids walk, nigga. Make your kids exercise. You're the fucking adult, nigga. Like, why the fuck are you letting your kids lie around not doing shit until a fucking telephone video game comes out to make them do some shit? Fuck it, make them do some shit. What kind of whack-ass, lazy-ass motherfucking parent are you? Like, I'm out walking with my kids now. Like, shit, we're not walking with your kids any fucking way. And then they're like, then they're saying, don't get mad because someone's in your yard. Nigga. There's a history of white people being in black people's yards on this continent, and it ain't cool, nigga. I don't want no motherfucking creepy-ass fucking white kids running around my shit, around my yard. I'm in a building now. I don't want them on my building. I don't want them on my fucking steps. I don't want them on my goddamn bench. Don't come play over here. Go play. There's fucking parks. Go play in the fucking park. Are you shitting me? I get to be annoyed at white strangers creeping around where I live. I sleep here. All right? I shower here. I'm naked. I don't need you creeping around where I'm naked right now. Fuck you. All right? So don't do that shit. You run up in, and then... And I hope white people, you see, white people are so used to racism, they forget what the fuck they still do to and have done to each other. All right, so when your fucking white kid runs up in some fucking Second Amendment freedom protecting white dude's yard and he shoots your fucking kid, that's because you let your fucking kid run up in somebody's yard. Stop that shit. I still play your fucking game. Go to the fucking shopping mall, go to the shopping plaza, go to a park, go to a fucking public place and not a private place. Don't run up on my private shit. All right? I don't fucking pay rent to have your creepy ass digging around in my fucking garbage can. All right. And you still hear the reverb. Apartment's still empty. Start recording another episode, I guess. Fuck it. Wine cellar, nigga. Peace.